Joining us on the program from London, Ontario, nutritional consultant Pam Colleen. How are you?
I'm great, Tom. How are you today?
I am excellent. Let me ask you, are you taller than your parents?
I am taller than my mother.
Okay.
And my brothers are, let's just say on average, about the same height as my dad. A couple of them are taller.
Okay.
But I have a lot of tall siblings, shall we say.
All right. Generally speaking, and I know your one brother, and he's quite a tall fellow.
Yeah. His nickname is Big. Yeah.
Yeah. And when your nickname's Big, you're a pretty big guy. And my family, I am the shortest and smallest of my family, and of the four boys, we're all taller than my dad.
Okay.
So I think I was about an inch taller than my dad, and then my oldest brother is, he's 6'6". Mm-hmm. So we were all, and this was our generation growing up, and then my father was taller than his father, and then we've successfully become taller as a society than the previous generations, but that may be coming to an end.
Well, and it's all about relativity here. This is okay. What this research is all about. And the reason why I went out and looked for this information, I was kind of shocked I found it, was because I was up on the university. I'm up on the university campus here in London, you know, at least once a week.
All right.
And I started looking around me, and I was noticing that the males were shorter than my generation back in the 80s.
All right.
And I thought to myself, am I imagining things? Right? I thought
maybe, were you wearing your high heels at the time? Were you on stilts or platform shoes?
No, I was playing tennis, so I'm sure I was wearing my tennis shoes.
Okay, all right.
But I thought, I must be crazy. This can't be true. And I started looking on the internet for some research to see if anything out there could validate my concerns over this. And sure enough, I came across this research that I sent to you, Tom, and it's done by an economist. And the reason why he did this research is because he has learned through his research that taller people make more money than shorter people.
All right.
That's why he went out and did this research. But what he did was he accumulated the heights of North Americans, compared them to the height of the Northern Europeans in the 1800s, and then followed their heights over the last 100 or so years. And what he found out was that, relatively speaking, we're shrinking here in North America. As a general rule of thumb.
All right. Are we getting shorter, or are we just not, or have we plateaued and others are getting taller?
That's basically what he's saying. Like, okay. We're just not living up to the capacity of, say, the Dutch.
Yeah.
Where in the 1800s, we would have surpassed them in height. And that now, today, the Dutch are surpassing us in height. So what has happened, of course, is there's a lot of variables to take into account here. But one of the variables, of course, is that in Northern Europe, they've had a lot of dietary changes, but not as much as, say, here in North America.
Well, and we can look at another society. They talk about the increasing body fat problem in, for instance, East Asia, but there's a society that's also getting taller as they consume more fat or as they change their diet away from so much based on grains and rice to more products that have fat and protein.
This is where it becomes a little vague, shall we say.
Like, okay.
If I go to the park downtown London and they're having their food festival, and I look at all the different ethnic foods that are being served by the people who've come here from those particular countries. And if I look at some of these booths and I look at the workers that are working the booths, if they're from certain parts of Asia, in all likelihood, they're more petite.
They're shorter. Yeah. Asian societies are generally shorter than Western European.
Not all the time, but it is, pretty general rule of thumb. And they're eating more plant-based foods as a general rule of thumb as well. Whereas if I look at my ancestors who are Irish and Scottish, they're eating lots and lots of animal foods in their diet. And they are typically, throughout history, very, very tall people, very robust and tall.
Now, what about, though, in the United States? I know they looked at American height. And it would be interesting to see, although we have some different composition racially than the United States, but I wonder if we can look at one of the factors being healthcare, that in the United States, without access to healthcare, maybe that impacts their overall well-being, where in Canada, and certainly in Western Europe, you have greater access to healthcare, that the health of people has improved, therefore the body can grow, I have extra resources, mm-hmm. I'll put it into height, no problem.
Well, you can factor in socioeconomics, and unfortunately, poor people are not going to afford the meat and the butter. The people who have money can afford the meat and the butter. So there's those variables to take into account as well. And you have these, what they call the food deserts, where people don't even have access to grocery stores with multitudes of food. Some people only have a corner store where they can get their food. And so when you look at the health outcomes of people who have more money than people who are in poverty, for example, you know, there's going to be a huge disparity there in terms of their overall health. But also, you're probably going to see if they were born into poverty, they're probably going to be much smaller in stature as well. Now, this is just a general rule of thumb, because I do see lots and lots of exceptions out there as well.
Yeah, yeah. To every exception, though, you'll be like, well, what about that guy? And you're like, all right, but generally, though, generally, when we look at it in terms of healthier populations across the world, now, genetics is going to be part of it, but all things remaining equal, if you separated populations and let's say there's a gene that doesn't make, for instance, Asian people on average as tall, the healthier their diet, though, allows them, the better diet we have, the taller we'll grow.
Yeah, there has to be some sort of genetic messaging as well. I mean, look at the Maasai in Africa.
Oh, yeah.
They're raised on raw milk and meat and blood. I mean, they're 7 feet tall if they're following their traditional diet. But if you take a Maasai and take them away from their traditional food, of course, they're probably going to be much smaller.
Yeah.
In size, in stature.
But is height everything, though? I mean, is it a good indicator of health? I mean, as a tall person, I have I see a physiotherapist for my back, which is kind of a pain in the butt. I have to eat more. I have problems with car seats. There are other problems. Height isn't everything, but is it a pretty good indicator of health?
It is, but Tom, there's a lot of critics that say that that's just moot, that's there's really no research or evidence to show that that's true. But the economist who did this research also hypothesized that not only that tall people tend to make more money than short people, but also that tall people tend to be healthier. But there's a lot of critics against that. I don't know if that's true or not.
All right. But it's interesting, though. So what happened? Let's take a break and then we'll come back and we'll talk about. So what's happened? I mean, the Americans used to be the tallest people in the world, no longer. So what's happened in the last 100 years in places? We think of Western culture as being generally the same because we share the same beliefs or values, but our diets are way different. Our diets are way different. So when we come back, we'll talk about that a little more. Nutritional consultant Pam Colleen joining us on the program. And again, if you want your child to grow in the NBA, genetics is 98% of it. You're never going to feed them into the NBA. But as a society on a whole, why are some groups gaining an inch or so every generation? Others aren't. Maybe it's diet. We'll talk to Pam Colleen a little more when we get back on News Talk 610 CKTV. 19 minutes after 11 o'clock, nutritional consultant Pam Colleen joining us. Does height matter? Does height matter? This stemmed out of research. Taller men on average earn more than their shorter colleagues. Women also prefer taller men, but there's been some divided evidence about whether taller men actually lived longer. However, society seemed to be healthier with a general improvement in height, let's just say, that when there's when the average height goes up, it seems to indicate a generally healthier society, as bodies can dedicate resources to growing rather than repairing or fighting disease or whatever else bodies do.
Well, they're probably eating more protein as well, which is going to not only support their structure, but their overall health as well.
Yeah. Well, protein, and then in the East Asian cultures, although they looked at it as a negative, I think now we're flipping on that. When they increased their fat consumption, they also grew taller.
Yeah, because the fat, remember, contains the fat-soluble vitamins, which are also called activators. And we need that fat in order to absorb the minerals and the protein, which are obviously essential for all sorts of bodily functions, including growth and development. So without the animal fat, of course, this is going to compromise our growth and development.
And of course, and when we look at an individual, as you say, you know, there's always an exception to the rule. When you look at the one individual, yeah, I'm sure there's someone out there who's 5'2 and extremely healthy. My buddy Woody's 5'4. I'm sure he's going to live till he's 95 years old. But overall, when we talk millions of people who make up our society, we seem to have plateaued, if you will.
When you go to the university next time, Tom, tell me if you notice the same phenomenon. And I'm talking about just looking at the general male population okay. now compared to when you were at the university. And I'm only talking about looking at the Caucasians as well, because as we mentioned, other cultures are sometimes much smaller. So
okay.
you're just looking at the Caucasians, and we can have this conversation again after you consciously maybe go and take a look.
Mm-hmm.
But it to me, it was just so blatantly obvious. I just couldn't believe my eyes when I put the connection together. And again, it's just looking around a room, looking around a crowded room and seeing, geez, this doesn't look like the male population that I went to university with.
And again, and the Dutch are now the tallest society.
Mm-hmm.
And they've exceeded, and I mean, they've significantly shot up post-World War II, haven't they?
Mm-hmm. But they haven't suffered with the fat phobia as much as we have here in North America, right? They love their high-fat cheese, for example. And so they haven't reduced their consumption of animal fat as much as we have here in North America. That's one of their saving graces, if you will. But if you look at the research that was done, he started accumulating this data in and around 1860. And that's when we see the post-industrial revolution and the rise of processed foods. It was already happening
mm-hmm.
in the 1800s, where we see in the middle 1800s the rise of the canning industry, for example.
So well, we see
a lot of plant-based foods introduced in our diet, and this is post the invention of the steel mill, which means more cookies, crackers, and breads on the market. So we're using a lot of these plant foods, even in the 1800s, to displace things like meat. And if you study the recipe books of the 1800s, you'll see that predominantly in the recipe books, we were heavy on the animal fat and protein, even back then. This was a normal part of our dietary habits, right? But it was a gradual displacement of the animal foods that took place. And this is why we gradually see not just our health declining, but our height as well.
Margaret, good morning.
Good morning.
You have a question for Pam?
Yes. Pam, I always enjoy when you come on the show. I'm very intrigued by your advice. And I was just wondering, I saw my doctor the other day, and my cholesterol is a bit high. He said it was sky high, but should I still be eating butter and animal fat mm-hmm. if I have a cholesterol problem?
Right. The dietary cholesterol is not the culprit here. The RI has been off the target now for many, many decades, and the proof is coming out more and more in the research. And your doctor just needs to get up to date in terms of the research, because unfortunately, all of us were duped into believing that dietary cholesterol and animal fat had somehow joined the dark side. This is not the case. And so it's not the animal fat that's the problem.
It doesn't contribute at all?
We're eating too many carbohydrates in the diet.
Mm.
That's the problem. We're just eating too many sugary foods, too many sugar-based foods in our diet. And that's what's essentially the culprit here.
Can I ask you, if you're buying ground beef, would you buy the regular or the lean?
Yeah, we humans have never eaten lean meat ever in the history of mankind.
Okay.
We knew that when we ate lean meat, we would get tummy aches. We need the fat in there in order to assimilate the protein and the minerals. So it's better not to buy lean. It's better to buy the fatty. And if you do buy lean meat, just put butter on it or lard or tallow or some animal fat in order to help you assimilate the nutrients in the meat.
Mm.
So that's really where we need to go towards. I don't think in the future we're going to see lean as often as we see today in the grocery stores, because more and more consumers are learning this information. In fact, Tom, there is a light at the end of the tunnel here. Now butter has surpassed margarine in sales, because I think more and more people are learning that we should never have gotten away from the animal fats, including butter.
Margaret, thanks for your call.
Thanks very much.
Mary Ann, you have a question for Pam?
I do.
Go ahead. Hello.
Hi. Pam.
Hi.
I have recently been diagnosed with high cholesterol. The doctor put me on a statin, of course, which that's what they usually do.
Mm-hmm. But
and
if you look at the research, if the doctor looks at the research, you'll find out that there's no research to show that it's going to help women.
No. And you know what? I don't like the effects of it. I like to keep everything as natural as possible. So that being said, do you have any information that I can look up, or some sort of natural process I can attack this with? Because, of course, I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
I'm postmenopausal,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not liking this.
No.
Well, there's different doctor groups out there right now that are consolidating their efforts to try and educate people about how we've been duped on the cholesterol issue. And there's groups like the Cholesterol Skeptics. And you can look them up online. There's the documentary Statin Nation that you can watch, which is interviews with a lot of doctors who have figured this out. You can go to the Weston A. Price Foundation website, which is just westonaprice.org. You can watch one of Sally Fallon's online videos called Cholesterol Myths. So there's a lot of research and a lot of people coming forward now realizing how we have to turn things around with regard to our belief system.
You know, Pam, it's so interesting because the doctor automatically and didn't even want to entertain my suggestion about anything natural.
Now, that just takes up their time. So it takes up their time, and they're only allowed so many minutes with you, right? So you have to take control of your own health and do your own research.
And that's the way it has to be with me. Thank you so much, Pam, for the information.
Marianne, thanks for the call. All right, Pam, do you have any links to cholesterol on your website?
I have several books on my website, on my books page. My website is just my name, PamKilleen.com. Okay. So there's lots of books there that people can look up.
PamKilleen.com. All right.
And go to my books page there.
Perfect. Always a pleasure.
All right, Tom. Thanks so much.
Have a great day, and I'll try to observe if we're shorter or not.
Okay.
Next time I'm at the campus. That's a great place to observe. Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
28 minutes after 11 o'clock. Are we shorter? Are we shorter as a society? And are there implications? And are there implications? 28 minutes after 11 o'clock. All right, when we come back...